in the gate of the city, and she's picking up sticks and she's trying to provide for her son, and she's in a desperate situation trying to provide for her and her son and trying to feed them. One more time, she said, the plan was for me to go and get these sticks so that I can create a fire and make us this little bit of meal that I have and this little oil, and I was going to bake us a cake and we were going to die. She said, you're coming and you're messing up the plan. You're messing up the whole program. You're messing up the last that I have. You're asking for the only thing that I can't give you. The Bible says that Elijah looks at her and he says, the meal that's in the barrel, it won't waste, and the oil will not fail. He says, go and do as I said, and then go and feed your son. And so she's obedient to the word of God, and she goes and she takes all that she has. I can't even imagine what was going through her mind in this moment as she's making him this cake, as she's baking up the last thing that she has, and she knows that it's not going to come from anywhere else, and she understands, man, this is a big deal. This is going to be everything that I have. This is going to be the last thing that we're going to eat. Because I don't know where to get anymore. There's a drought in the land, and I don't know how it's going to come. And she, with that little boy, she grabs that pot, and she's mixing up that meal. And she's grabbing this meal, and she's making a cake for a man that she doesn't even know. And she's making this cake, and she takes the oil, and she mixes it together, and she puts it on the fire, and she grabs this thing, and she looks at it, understanding, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal from. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right now? I don't know where it's going to come from. The bills are due, and I don't have the money to pay them. I'm in a desperate situation, God. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I'm going to be obedient to the man of God. And she takes this cake, and Bible says that she gives it to him. And I can see her now as she goes back to the barrel. And as she goes back to the cruise, and now it's time, because the man of God is taken care of. Now it's time for her to make some for her son, because the prophet said that it wouldn't fail and it wouldn't waste. And so she goes back to the barrel, and she goes back to the cruise of oil. And the Bible says that when she starts to get the meal out, and when she starts to get the oil, that God sustained her until the drought was over. I'm telling you, we serve a God of provision. We serve a God that sees us in our last moment. We serve a God that sees us in our time of desperation. And she had to be willing. She had to be willing to give her last. She had to be willing to give the thing that seemed insignificant. She had to be willing, because by all accounts, everybody would say, you don't have anything to offer God. You don't have anything to offer the man of God. The Bible says that there were many widows in Israel. But Elijah went to see about this one. You see, I believe that God was going to the one who he knew was willing to hand it over, who he knew was ready and willing to prepare herself to do whatever she had to do to take care of the man of God, to take care of the will of God, to take care of the word of God. We've got to get to a place where we're willing to give our last to God. She hands it over, and after that, the miracle of all of the food and all of the oil and all of these things, she was sustained during this time. But she had to be willing to give it in order for God to perform the miracle. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about when you come to the house of God, and it's been a difficult season, and the cares of life have knocked you to your knees, and you come to God and you try to give him your best praise. You try to give him the best thing that you've got, but sometimes you can't give God everything that you've got because you don't have anything left. I've seen them come in the house of God and they've tried to lift their hands, and the weight of the world is on their shoulders. There's not anything wrong with them. God's just testing them. God just wants to know, can you offer up a broken hallelujah, because there's potential. There's potential in just coming to the house of the Lord. There's potential in just raising your hands as far as you can get them. There's potential in just giving God the last that you have. But you see, as we live in this world with people, people always compare themselves to other people. And when they look at you and they don't see you lifting your hands, they may think it's because you don't love God. But sometimes, young people, sometimes you're going to go through some situations that knocks you flat on your back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're going to go through some times when you can't handle the threshing floor. You're going to go through some times when the potter's wheel is a little bit too tough. You're going to go through some times when you don't understand why God has got you in the place that he's got you in. Do I got a witness in the house? But he says, look, I understand this your last, but we serve a God that can do anything. And at the moment that you give him your last, God's going to multiply and bless it. God's going to take care of his people. Does anybody believe that in the house of the Lord? And we get a few clicks down the page and we read where her son comes up sick, and the son is sick, and it's a dire situation, and the prophet is still around, and she's wondering what's going on. Then she goes and gets him, and she says, are you bringing up all of my past sins, and you're going to kill my son for anything I've done in the past? What's going on here? Why did you actually come to me? If you were going to come and you were going to take my son, you're here for the wrong reasons. She said, what is this about? And he says, give me your son. And he takes the son up to the loft where he stayed. And the Bible says that he stretches himself upon the child three times. And he prays, God, please revive this child. And God revives the child. I believe it was because of her faithfulness. And I believe it was because he wanted her to see that he was in control of everything about her life. You've got to understand sometimes that sometimes you don't have the money to pay what you need to pay. And sometimes you don't have the resources in order to be able to do the things that you need to do in this life. But I serve a God. I said, I serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And so the son is revived, and she says, now I know that thou art a man of God and that thy words are true. You see, God did miracles not just to save people, but God did miracles so he can bring somebody to the kingdom of God. God did miracles so you can know that he's the only true living God. Does anybody know him for yourself? You ought to give him praise right now if you serve the same God that she served back in the day. And we trip along to Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, we find a widow woman, another widow woman, the widow woman with the issue of blood. And she's in her situation for a long time. The Bible says for 12 years, she dealt with this infirmity. And for 12 years, day after day, she had to wake up with a sickness in her body. And she had to wake up knowing what it felt like not to be whole. And she had to wake up and figure out a way to try to fix the problem that was in her life. The Bible says that she spent much on many physicians. And so doctor visit after doctor visit, and try this a little bit and try that a little bit. And maybe you need to just try this, and I've cooked up another home remedy for you to try. And everything that she tried didn't work. Nothing worked. And she kept getting worse and worse and worse. And she's running out of resources, and she spent all of her money, and she's trying to find a way to make herself whole. And she's trying to find a way to fix the infirmity that's in her life. And at this point, she finds out, there's nothing else I can do. I don't have the resources to go to another doctor. I don't have the energy to do anything else. She found out that there was a man by the name of Jesus passing through the town. And the Bible says that she goes, and there was a multitude of people that was oppressed, and everybody was around him. And I can imagine at this point, I can imagine that she's probably frail and she's probably weak and she's small and all of these things I can see in my mind's eye. And as she makes her way, she probably sees the crowd. But I'll tell you, at this point in the story, it didn't matter what was in front of her, because she was in a moment of desperation where she had to get to God. She said, if I can just touch, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Look, I don't need to talk to him. I don't need to hold on to his arm. I don't need to jump up and down and get his attention. My situation is desperate. And I know with everything that's in me that nothing else worked because I've tried it all. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get to where Jesus is, I can be made whole. The Bible says, this small, frail lady presses through the crowd. Probably knocks her down. Probably gets her to a place to where she's crawling on the ground. But it didn't matter at that point, because she needed something from God. She needed a blessing from God. She needed healing in her body. So I could see her crawling around on the ground, on the dirt, trying to get to where Jesus is. And the Bible says that she touches the hem of his garment. And as she touches the hem of his garment, the Bible says that she knew that she was made whole. And Jesus is walking with the multitude and with the disciples. And Jesus said, who touched me? What kind of question is that? You're in a crowd, Jesus. One of the disciples piped up and he said, you're in a crowd. There's many people around you. Everybody is bumping up against you. Everybody is touching you. But you see, nobody touched him like she touched him. That touch of desperation, that touch that said, I gotta get to the master. I've gotta get to the father. I've gotta get to the only one that can make me whole. I've gotta touch the hem of his garment. She touches and grabs a hold of that hem of his garment. And when he looked around, he knows, okay, I understand there's a multitude. There's a difference between being around the things of God and actually touching God. In this atmosphere, God can do anything. But if you just stand by and you never get involved in what's going on in the atmosphere, you're never going to touch Jesus. You're never going to be able to get to the place where you're made whole. So when you come to the house of God, you've got to unlock that stuff. And you've got to get to an apostolic altar. And you've got to find out where Jesus is. And you've got to touch the hem of his garment so that you can be made whole. And so Jesus said, nobody touched me the way that she touched me, because I felt virtue flow out of me. Who is this person that just touched me? And he's looking around and he's trying to find out who touched him and who wanted to be made whole. And the Bible says that crawling and trembling and stumbling, that the widow woman was right in front of him, the woman with the issue of blood. And she says, it was me. And he said, thy faith has made you whole. Sometimes you got to get to a place of desperation with God where you won't take no for an answer, and you're going to be like the widow woman who just keeps coming and knocking on the door and God doesn't answer, but you've got to keep on knocking and you've got to keep on pressing and you've got to keep on. I'm talking to people who've been through some stuff, and when you go through some stuff and life knocks you flat on your back, you've got to drag yourself to the house of God so that you can be made whole, so that you can get to where the Father is. The Bible says she was made whole. We're just going to walk through the Bible tonight. Is that all right? The Bible works. My words don't. The Bible works. Mark chapter 10. We find a man by the name of blind Bartimaeus. And he's a beggar sitting on the roadside. And on the roadside, he's sitting there, and this is probably his custom. He's probably been hanging out here for a long time. The Bible says, or some scholars would say, that probably his dad was blind. And so he's been probably familiar with this lifestyle for a long time, because it's difficult to make a living for yourself when you can't see. And so he's dependent upon the multitude that passes by to be able to give him handouts and give him things so that he can sustain in his life. The Bible says that he's sitting by the roadside, and he hears a commotion, and he hears a noise, and he hears something going on, and he's a tent, and he's trying to figure out what's happening in the street. What's all the commotion about? What's all the noise about? And he figures out, I've never heard this much noise before. I've never heard this much noise before. I've never felt the presence that I feel right now. I've never felt that. He realizes that Jesus was passing through. The Bible says that he begins to cry, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And the multitude said, you need to be quiet, because what you have to give, you don't have anything to give. And what you think you have to give is insignificant to God. You need to hold your peace. You don't need to cry out to God. You don't need to speak to the master. He's got too much stuff to do. He's got too many people to see. But you would think he would be quiet at that point. But when you get desperate enough, you don't care what people say. You don't care what people do. You've just got to get to where the Father is. You've just got to get to where God is. You're not worried about the noise, and you're not worried about the crowd. The Bible says that he cries out the more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible says that Jesus hears. And he tells the disciples, go and get him. And the Bible says that as blind Bartimaeus got the call that Jesus was ready to see him, the Bible says that he cast away his garment. See, you've got to understand, this garment was probably the only possession that he had. This garment would keep him warm in the wintertime. This garment was always with him. He probably covered up with this garment at nighttime. This garment was a big deal. This garment was probably all that he had. And he cast the garment aside because Jesus was there. And when Jesus is there, anything is possible. Anything is possible. Hear me today. Anything is possible. I don't know why I'm parking right here, but I need to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost right now, anything is possible. I know it looks like a desperate situation, but anything is possible. With man and our natural ability, I don't have the power to heal your sight. But God, I know a God. Does anybody know a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? And he cast his garment aside. And the Bible says that he goes to where Jesus is. And Jesus said, what do you need? And he says, that I may receive my sight. And he tells him, he talks about his faith. And he talks about, because of your faith, you're going to be made whole. And the Bible says that he follows him in the way. And not only does he have his sight, but Jesus has a brand new disciple. Does anybody know that God is able to save? God is able to heal? God is able to deliver? God is able to set free? God is able to do the unthinkable? God is able to do the impossible? God is able to move on your situation? And God is able to do everything that you thought was not able to be done? And he's made whole. But it's not until cast away all of the old, and he stepped into something new, and he cast away the current situation, and he knew that if I give this, then God's going to give me everything that I need. And we move to John chapter 6, And this miracle is the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. The Bible says that Jesus is there and he lifts up his eyes and he sees the multitude and he sees all the people and he asks Philip, he says, how are we going to feed all of these people? But the Bible says that he knows what he knew what he would do. So God already knew it was just the testing. And God asked him, he said, what are we going to do? And then Andrew pipes up and Andrew says, there is a lad here. And this lad has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fishes. And one of them said, but it's not enough to do anything to feed this multitude of 5,000. So he might as well take his sack lunch and go back home because there's nothing that's going to be able to be done here. But when Jesus is in the room, I said, when Jesus is in the room, anything is possible. And the Bible says that Jesus has them all to sit down. And this is an important point here. We read the next verse. We read that Jesus took the loaves. But I know that God is a gentleman. And that God's not just going to snatch his lunch from him. The lad has to be willing to give the last thing that he has. The lad has to be able to put himself in a position that everybody else was in. You see, that's a difficult thing because if I'm looking at a hungry multitude that doesn't have anything to eat and I'm standing there with my lunch, I'm trying to hide it and I'm trying to make sure I'm not getting beat up for somebody taking it from me. But this lad, he had to be willing to release the last thing that he had. He had to be willing to let go of it. He had to be willing to say, I know it's just a little bit, but God's not looking at what's in your hand. God's just wondering, are you going to give it up to me and let me multiply it? I'm telling you, the potential of a broken hallelujah is to put it in the hands of God and let him multiply it. So when you come to the house of God, when you come to the house of God and you can't get your hands up in the air because the weight of the world is on your shoulders and you can't even get the words out that say hallelujah when it's just broken and your praise is broken and it's busted and it's disgusted and everybody's looking at you wondering, what are you doing? You're wasting your time. The master take notice. The master's watching and he says, I can do something with a broken hallelujah. I can do. All I need you to do is just get your hand up just a little bit. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when you have your best praise. But guess what? There's also going to be other days when you're not at your best. But all you need to do is give God all that you've got. If you can only raise your hand this much past the pew, you've got to raise your hand this much past the pew. God sees that. And he takes it and he breaks it first and then he blesses it and he distributes it. The Bible says that everybody ate until they were full. When God is in it, little is everything. When God is in it, little is everything. All you've got to do is learn how to bring that insignificant in your eyes gift to the house of God and just lift up your hands just a little bit. I know it's tough right now. I know it's difficult right now. But if you just give God everything that you have, God will take it and God will multiply it and God will bless it and God will do things that you've never seen before. Back at our text, Mark chapter 12, Jesus is leaning, sitting against the treasury. He's observing close to the charity boxes or places where they would give charity close to the city. And these boxes were all out in the street, and people would come in and just drop their charity in the box. And Jesus is hanging out at this place, and Jesus is watching all of the events that are happening here. And Jesus is just taking notice, not just of what they put in, but Jesus is taking notice of their heart. The Bible says that as he leaned up against it, that many rich people came and they cast in much. And don't miss this, because this is not an indictment on those that have a lot. This is not an indictment if you've got money in your pocket. And we're not just talking about money. This is not just an indictment on those that have much. If you've got a lot of praise to give God today, you ought to give God everything that you've got. If you got everything right now, you ought to give God everything. Young people, use your youth. Praise God with all of your might. Somebody take a lap right now, because you can, and give God praise. But what we've got to understand is that everybody is at different places in the house of God. Not everybody is at the same place. Young people, you got to praise God with everything that's in you. Listen to me. When we come into the house of the Lord, we're going to give it everything that we got. And I want you to push me if I'm not giving it everything that I've got. We've got to hold each other accountable, because you're young, because you can move right now, because you can do everything to give God the best praise that you'll probably ever give him. If you've got a lot to give, you got to give it all. But the Bible says that Jesus is paying attention to what they put in. And many rich people came and they cashed into the treasury. But I'm sure Jesus is watching afar off, and Jesus sees a widow woman. And the scripture kind of implies that she may be old. So if we could just go with that, just ride with me for a minute. This widow woman, probably frail, probably don't have a lot. Well, we know she doesn't have a lot to her name. She doesn't have a husband to take care of her. The Bible says that Jesus notices her. And whenever Jesus takes notice, it's a big deal. I said, wherever Jesus takes notice, it's a big deal. So Jesus is leaning up against the treasury. And every step, I'm telling you, it thundered in the heavens when she made a step towards the offering plate, because Jesus knows all. She made a step. It meant something. It meant something to God, but it meant something to her. She knew, I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal from. I don't know where God's going to sustain me. I don't know if all things are going to work out, but I've got to step out on faith. I've got to make one step after another step, and I've got to make my way to the treasury. And she makes her way to the treasury. And Jesus is watching her like a hawk. The Bible says that he called the disciples over to teach them a lesson in this moment. Look, come here. I don't want you to miss this right here. I see all of these people casting in, but you've got to see this. You've got to see what she's doing in this moment. Bible says she takes two mites, which is less than a penny. The Bible says that she cast it in. You don't understand that release until you've been in that place. You don't understand what that's like until you've walked where she's walked. You don't understand what that is until you've been at the hospital countless nights. You don't understand what that feels like until your baby walks from the things of God. You don't understand what that feels like until you've got bills to pay and you're giving your last to God. To comprehend, it's hard to get in our mind, it's hard for us to understand what that feels like, but Jesus knew what it meant. He understood what it meant. The Bible says she cast those mites into the treasury, and he looks over to his disciples and he says, did you just see what happened? And he says, all those that are rich gave of their abundance. But she cast in all of her living. She gave the last thing that she had. And you might look at it as insignificant, but God sees it as everything. I believe when those coins dropped in the box, I believe that it thundered in heaven. I believe that it rang in heaven. I believe that everybody in heaven heard it drop into the box. I believe that God knew this is a big deal. And she cast in of all of her living. Where's my next meal going to come from? I don't know. How are you going to pay your bills? I don't know. How am I going to pay for my next doctor's visit? I don't know. This is not just a conversation about money. This is a conversation about your heart. You've got to be willing to give everything to God. You've got to be willing to take the insignificant praise that you may have right now, because life has pressed on you and the world is pressing on you and all of these things are crumbling you to the ground. But you've just got to lift up a hand out of the rubble and say, naked I came in this world, but naked I will return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, I don't have anything else. God, this is the last that I have, but I'm going to give it to you because I know you're able to multiply it. I know you're able to do something bigger than I will ever think to do. You've got to get to a place you'll walk with God where life crumbles you and you're under the weight of everything that's going on and you don't know how you're going to pay the bills and you don't know how the baby is going to get well and you don't know where it's going to come from and you don't understand how God's going to make it happen. But you've got to get to a place where you, if you could just raise a hand, if you could just offer up a broken hallelujah to God, if you could just offer up the best thing that you've got in this moment, God knows and God sees. And he said, she cast in more than all of them. Because God looks at what's left. And God judges by the heart. And God is watching her. And he knows she doesn't have anything to prove. She doesn't have anything to prove. She may not think she has anything to offer. That's where the devil comes in. When you're going through a tough situation and it's difficult for you to praise God like you normally praise God, the devil slides in right there and the devil says, why are you even here? Why are you even clapping your hands? Why are you even stomping your feet? Why are you even running around the church? Why are you trying to praise God? This is a broken praise. This is a beat down praise. You're wasting your time, but God sees it and God knows that it's the best thing that you can offer. Because it's in moments of weakness. It's in moments of our weakest moments and the moments where we can't make it all happen and we can't figure it all out and we can't do the things that we always do. Well, we've got to lean on God. And it's in that moment where you understand and comprehend the full strength and power of the God that you serve. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You ought to clap your hands if you know God is good. You ought to clap your hands if God has ever brought you out. You ought to clap your hands. It's in those moments where God really reveals to you his strength because you're moved out of the way. You've got to move self out of the way and you've got to let God operate. You've got to watch God and watch how he teaches us and he shows his power in the moments where we're at our weakest point. And so when you come to the house of God and you try to offer up the praise that you always try to offer, but it just won't come out, God's going to take that. Because God's looking at the heart and God knows they may not be running laps around the church, but I know this trial has knocked them on their back, but they're in the house of God and they're serving me right now and they're just giving me the best that they've got in that moment. There's going to come a time when you give God your best praise. There's going to come a time when you run laps and jump over the chandeliers and all of that stuff. But today, you've got to give them everything that you've got. You've got to give them your best. You can't worry about what everybody else is thinking. You can't worry about what everybody else is doing. And you can't judge anybody based on how they praise God. You don't know what they've been through. That's why we got to be so careful not to look over to our brother while we're praising God. This is a vertical worship. I don't worship God for you. I worship God because he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I worship God because I owe him everything that I am. I remember years growing up, and if you don't know my mom was faithful. She's a prayer warrior. When I say prayer warrior, I'm talking 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. You wake up, my mom's, I can guarantee you, she's crying out to God. On the phone, talking to her friends, having prayer meetings. My mom was faithful. And I remember growing up in that type of atmosphere and watching her praying and gleaning from her, coming to the house of God and bringing us to the house of God and faithful to the things of God and walking this thing out in the rightest way that she could and trying to be everything that she could for her 3 little boys. I remember being in the house, and when we were having a prayer meeting in the den of my house, I remember my mom looking at me and saying, "Do you know that you can receive the Holy Ghost?" And I didn't understand all of that at that point, but I knew that if my mama said it, I could receive the Holy Ghost. And I remember she said, "Baby, just lift up your hands and just begin to praise God." And within seconds, I was speaking in a tongue that I never learned in school. I remember growing up in that type of atmosphere. And I remember her coming to the house of God and giving God her best praise every service. And I remember even when it was off times, because there are no off times with real apostolics. On Tuesday night and on Thursday night and on Monday night and on Friday night, you can find her glorifying and magnifying the God that created her and the God that gave her everything that she had. You can find her giving her best praise, clapping her hands, lifting her hands, lifting her voice, doing everything that she could to make sure she was giving God the best praise that she can give. But life happens and things happen, and I remember when my mom started to get sick, and I remember she started having trouble breathing, and it was a difficult season for our family. I remember probably an 8 to 10 year stretch where my mom's health was declining and everything was going down and I couldn't see any way out of it. And it was my reality when my friends were doing all of these things and I would go home, and this was the reality of watching my faithful mother struggle to breathe every day. That's a difficult thing. And I remember just watching her through her situation. And I remember analyzing the situation and wondering when God was going to step in and when God was going to turn the situation around. And I remember when we came back from a trip, and my mom was, my family was calling me, and I've told this story many times, but I remember coming back, and we didn't come back to the house from this trip, but we went straight to the hospital. My mom was in the hospital, and we got to this hospital, and my mom is sitting there, and my brother comes up to me, and my dad, they come up to me, and they say, "Listen, let me tell you what's going on. Mom is in an induced coma right now. I had just talked to her the day before. I was graduating from Hope Corps at Peak that year, and she was so excited, but she couldn't be there. And I remember FaceTiming her that night and us having a conversation and her telling me how proud of me she was. And I remember all of that. And now I'm sitting in this hospital, and I don't know what's going on. And my life is about to be turned upside down. And I remember them telling me the news that she was in a coma, and they was just trying to preserve her in this moment. I remember that. And I remember walking into the room, and I remember laying my hands on my mom And I remember praying for her and praying for her, and day in and day out, she sat in this hospital. And I'm telling you, she was probably in the hospital for months at a time, probably 6 to 8 months at a time. And the church was there, and they brought us things, and they were there. They had our back. That's why you got to get hooked up with an apostolic church, because when you go through something, you can bet your last dollar that the church is going to be there for you. Sam, you come. And I remember being there day in and day out. And at some point, my mom had to get a trach, and they figured out a way where she can talk again. And if you knew my mom for any stretch of time, the first thing that she would say to you is, "Praise the Lord." If you told her something, "Well, praise the Lord." Like, "No, mom, I did this." "Praise the Lord." That's just her. And I remember going to that hospital room and watching her after the doctors didn't give her a long time to live. I remember watching her progress. And I remember watching her get better. She was able to talk and she was able to move a little bit. And I remember one of the first things that she did when she was able to get some range of motion. She already praised God with her mouth, but she knew that it was time to praise God with my hands. And I remember her. She didn't have much strength. It was difficult for her to take one step or move. She was bedridden. She was sitting in a hospital room for many days. And I remember her, when it was time for church to come on, she would turn on church and she would start to lift her hands. But she wasn't able to lift them like she was used to lift them. She had to lift them just the best that she could. And I remember watching her in this season, and I never heard her complain. And I never heard her say a bad thing about the church. And I never heard her say a bad thing about the God that she served. Sometimes she couldn't get her words all the way out. And I can imagine that many times she probably tried to say hallelujah. And it might not have been as robust as it used to be. But God sees. And God hears. And God knows. And she would offer up a broken hallelujah to God. It wasn't pretty to you, but to God, it meant everything. Ultimately, my mom got a greater reward, and she won her battle with sickness, and she's on the other side. But sometimes you plant seeds in a garden that you never see. And I can remember her praying for her babies. And I remember all of the nights of faithfulness. And I remember all of the nights where she had her best praise. And you can bet your last dollar that she was going to give her best praise. But there came a point in time when she couldn't do it like she used to. But God sees everything. And she's not able to see today that all three of her boys are living for God at a high level. And that all of our wives are in the house of God. And that my babies are praising God in the front of the church that she brought us through. And that Breezy is running around the church. And all of our family is in the house of God. And my dad is sitting in the back right now because there's something to it. I've come to preach a simple message tonight. And I just want to encourage somebody. Just give God one more broken hallelujah. Just offer up one more praise to God. It might not be the best thing that you've ever done before, but in heaven, God knows, and God sees, and God hears. I wonder right now if everybody under the sound of my voice can lift up your hands right now and just cry out to God and just offer God another praise. God's going to take your praise. God's going to bless it. God's going to multiply it. If you want to come around this altar, go ahead and come around the altar today. God's here right now. Somebody give him a praise right now. Somebody lift him up right now. Somebody cry out to him right now. God hears you right now. God sees you right now. Somebody press on in right now. Come on, somebody offer up everything that you've got right now. God's gonna multiply it. God's gonna bless it. God's gonna do something great with it right now.
You deserve.